Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you during the ninth inning of a 9-1 game against the Orioles. And I wish it was the good type of 9-1, but here we are. Orioles have a runner on first base, no outs, top of the ninth. It is 9-1 Orioles at the moment. Not a great game coming out of the chute from the All-Star break. Looks like a lot of Rangers players are still on vacation. I mean, I know we had a few guys in the All-Star game, but beyond maybe Nate Lowe, Corey Seager, and a couple other guys, looks like most of the team's still on vacation right now. So here we are. Hopefully we can get something positive in the bottom of the ninth to head into tomorrow. It's always going to be a tough matchup when you're facing off against Corbin Burnes. We're going to get into everything here in just a little bit. Appreciate you guys joining me tonight. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports. Put a big emphasis, though, on all the teams we love from Texas, including the Rangers, especially the Rangers during baseball season. Know you've got a lot of options out there for Rangers content. Thanks for choosing Right on Rangers. We'll go ahead and we'll get right into it, y'all. So this game got ugly really, really quickly. And I mean really quickly. I mean, it was 4-0 in the first inning. Nate Eovaldi was going today. Kind of felt like with Nate Eovaldi, you had a chance. I always feel like the Rangers, whether they're playing a good team or not, I always feel like they can steal one with Nate on the mound. But Nate has been a little bit prone to the home run ball of late. I've kind of noticed that. It was definitely something in his last few starts that I had noted. And tonight, again, gives up a couple of bombs. Absolutely was not the start that the Rangers were looking for or that the Rangers were needing out of Eovaldi tonight. When you dig yourself a 4-0 hole in the top of the first inning, there's not a lot of likelihood that you're going to come back. Now, is it possible? Absolutely. Absolutely, it's possible to come back from a 4-run deficit with 9 innings to play. So let's not sit here and pretend like the game was over at that point. But when you go down 4-0, it's just not great. And when the whole team, seeing their ace go down 4-0 right away, a team that's already struggled to play from behind this year, a team that has struggled to find a groove offensively, you really feel like they needed to feed off a good, very, very solid performance from Nate tonight. And when you see that 4-0 deficit right away, I kind of wondered, and look, it's just my musing for what it's worth, I kind of wondered what everybody else's mentality was at that point on the team. Right now, we've got 2 outs in the top of the ninth, by the way. John Gray is on to pitch right now. Interesting move. I'm assuming kind of a little bit of that, you know, bullpen, got to get some work in. Maybe we will be utilizing him later on this series or early next week. But John Gray in to get 1 inning of work here. And he has allowed 1 base runner, but it looks like he is close to getting out of this one and sending it to the bottom of the ninth inning. I will say this, interesting stuff today on MLB Network, and I'm going to check comments here. Appreciate everybody that's tuning in right now. Natalie, what's up? Yeah, I totally agree with this. I think they said Langford is 0 for his last 24, has not got a hit in his last 24 at-bats. So I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying here with Wyatt Langford. I think he ignited the offense, ignited the team back in, what was it, in June? Sorry about that. Forgot what month it was for a minute there. In June, he ignited the offense. I really do feel that way, and it's not a shock that he's in a little bit of a funk right now, 0 for his last 23, 24, something like that. And the Rangers offense, even though they did get a few wins in Houston, is scuffling a little bit at the moment. Only 1 run scored tonight. That's not going to win you a lot of ball games, even with Nate Eovaldi having probably his worst start of the year, unfortunately. I think he had one of his best starts of the year in Houston, right on Saturday, and then probably his worst start of the year tonight. It's unfortunate. Hi, thanks so much for tuning in today. Appreciate it. I'm really grateful for the support, and thank you for tuning in. If you're not already subscribed or following the account, I would greatly appreciate it. And that goes for anybody watching. That way you can keep up anytime we go live, right? Anytime we put out a reel, a short, get updated, get notified. Thank you so much for following and for supporting the channel. It means a lot. Let's get right back into it. So we had a 4-0 deficit right away. I don't know what the mental psyche is of all these players. I can only tell you what it was like for me playing ball. And again, for anybody that doesn't know my background, high school ball, very, very small town, small school, college baseball. So look, take it with a grain of salt. But when you go down 4-5-0 in the first inning, it's hard. It's tough on the whole team, especially a team that hasn't completely found their groove and found their way yet. And I'd say the Rangers are still trying to find it at this point. I don't know if anybody disagrees with me, but the Rangers are still trying to find a groove, offensively speaking. And right now, it's just not going well. So what I really hope is that the Rangers are able to get back on track. And hopefully in this series, they can be competitive. Hopefully in this series, they are able to get a couple of wins. I still think that there's hope for that. I don't know who's going to be starting over the next couple of days. I think Scherzer is tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Max Scherzer tomorrow. But look, Orioles are a tough team. I think it goes without saying the Orioles with a 58-38 record are one of the best teams in baseball. And they've had their moments of scuffling, playing the Yankees in the series before the All-Star break. I know they scuffled a little bit. They did win the last game of that series against the Yankees. By the way, for anybody that's needing some updates on the game, John Gray gets a pop out here. I got the game going on another screen close by. And Josh Smith makes the put out. Lazy pop fly to Josh Smith for the out. Speaking of Josh Smith, I think they were talking about the Rangers record for hit by pitch in a season. Josh Smith, I think, is getting kind of close at this point. 16 times this year, Josh Smith has been hit by a pitch. I mean, just something about the guy. We talked about this the other day. Just something about Josh Smith, I guess. Josh Smith leads the major leagues in hit by pitch. 16 HBPs for Josh Smith. So he was actually on base once tonight, 0-for-3, 2 strikeouts. Not his best outing. Like I said, a lot of the Rangers players just didn't seem completely into it tonight. I don't love getting into the psyche of all these guys and making quick judgments, but the team just looked a little bit lifeless to me tonight. And you know what? When you get a few days off, sometimes that happens. I mean, shoot, look at all the playoff teams that the Rangers played. I mean, minus the Rays, you're talking about, you know, the Orioles, who we played in the division series. We swept them. They had all that time off. 100-win team the Orioles were last year. I think they're cruising, going to have a shot at 100 wins this year. And it's not surprising to me. Sometimes you have those 3 days off, 4 days off, whatever it was, and you don't come out super sharp. And I'm hopeful that tonight is all it was. All it was just the Rangers coming off of a break and not being able to find the same energy and the same momentum that they had in the Houston series. I don't want to make an excuse for them or make it seem like I'm good with it. I think the Rangers need to play with urgency. I don't think they have time to have bad games like this or to have a low energy game. You've got to start playing like every game is a playoff game. That is where the Rangers are at right now as we head to the bottom of the 9th inning. I don't think that you can start making excuses for them. I do want to say this big picture. I really feel like the best thing to do here is think about the next couple of weeks. I think there's 11 days left before the trade deadline. Let's think about Rangers' record after the next 11 days and kind of use that as our measuring stick rather than take it game by game. That's kind of what we did before the All-Star break, if you remember. Before the All-Star break, it was about 2 weeks before the break. Rangers had 12 games, and I said, win 8 out of 12. And that's exactly what the Rangers did. They won 8 out of 12 games heading into the All-Star break, and they put themselves in a position to continue to be competitive, to not be sellers at the deadline. And now you kind of have to look at it the same way with the next 11 days before the deadline. I think the Rangers maybe have a little bit less than 11 days before you really have to decide whether you're going to be a seller, whether you're going to be a buyer, whether you're going to hold pat. But I do think over the next 2 series, right, the Rangers will have a series with the Orioles, 2 more games left in that. And then after that, they play the White Sox at home. I believe that's another 3-game set. So I really do feel like you've got to go 4-2 over these next 5 games. You've got to go 4-1 over the next 5 games. So that would include basically either winning 1 of the next 2 against Baltimore or winning 2 of the next 2 against Baltimore and then winning the series against the White Sox, which I think is very doable. White Sox are not a good team. I mean, they are just not a good ball club right now. It'd be very, very embarrassing for us to drop 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 3 to the White Sox. Look, baseball is a crazy game. I don't go into any series with an insane amount of confidence. I did feel pretty good that they were going to do well against the Angels last week. That ended up happening. But by and large, I don't really go into a lot of series with a ton of confidence that the Rangers are going to just sweep or go 3 out of 4. I think the Rangers can win a lot of series, 2 out of 3. But I really, really don't go into any one particular set of games against any team feeling over the top confident. Maybe it's just the club this year, but it's also just the game of baseball. You can have a bad night. A pitcher can shut you down, kind of like Corbin Burns did for us tonight. And it is what it is. And that kind of leads me a little bit into talking more about the game tonight. So we talked about the low energy, the rust coming out of the All-Star break. I think you can chalk it up to that. I think maybe a bigger thing you chalk this loss up to is Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns is a really, really, really good pitcher. I mean, he started the All-Star game. So I don't think anybody should be having a meltdown over this game. I just don't think that we need to be overreactive to this Rangers loss. It's ugly. It doesn't look good. But we were facing the American League starting pitcher in the All-Star game tonight. And we were pitching a guy that did pretty well against us last time out when we were in Baltimore. So I don't look at this loss as it being the end of the world. I think about the next two series and the big picture here. We're 0-1, and we need to go 4-2 over the next 5 games. 4-1 over the next 5 games. Never was a math guy. My bad on that one. But five wins would be phenomenal, but kind of a long shot at this point if you're looking at the next two series. But I still think that 4-2 in the cumulative 6 games that you have against the White Sox and against the Orioles is doable. If you remember, the Rangers won their first game last week, lost the next two, and still managed to have a positive week. So I do think that it's very, very possible that the Rangers are still in a good position here to take the next 4 games out of 5 that they have. You've got the White Sox coming up. You do have Scherzer on the mound tomorrow. The Orioles are going to be a tough team. If they get 1 out of the next 2, I still don't think that's the end of the world. What you don't want to do is drop games to the White Sox. You want to go 2 out of 3, or you want to go 3 out of 3 in that. You do not want to be dropping games to the White Sox. That would be worst case scenario there. Let me keep going with comments here, by the way. So if you're not watching the game, Rangers just got their 3rd out. So final is 9-1 tonight. Natalie says, Rangers had a good draft. I like the top 2 hitters. Interested to see where they will use Dreiling defensively, since they will still have Langford Carter, most likely. His defense doesn't sound flexible. Okay, so we'll get into draft picks in a little bit. I do think that the Rangers definitely got some very nice talent. Dreiling, I hope I'm saying his name right. I'm not really fully into the draft dive at this point, all the stats and little things. I kind of dig into that a little bit later on once the trade deadline passes and things start settling. But I might have to look into it a little bit sooner. I did hear that Dreiling was the most valuable player in the College World Series, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's who we're talking about. Hopefully it is. So the Rangers, I think, got some good value. It was interesting. I thought that they took so many catchers. That was something I'm kind of like, man, Jonah Heim. Try not to take that personally. I think the Rangers took like 2 catchers in the first several rounds. So in my mind, look, I know that they have got to continue to draft guys at different positions, regardless of who they have. But I did kind of think to myself, man, taking some catchers high in this draft, what does that say about Jonah Heim? I don't know. I don't know how they view him long term, but it was curious to me that they decided to use their first round draft pick on a catcher. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I know Jonah Heim is still controllable for a number of years still. So it's not like you've got to give Jonah Heim a big contract soon. He is getting into his ARB years. So that is something to look out for. But I did think that that was interesting. You're spending a first round draft pick on a catcher. We've got a gold glove catcher, a guy that drove in 95 RBI. Yes, this season has been a little bit up and down for Jonah Heim offensively. Again, don't want to be looking into it too much, but I will say it caught my attention. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But we'll get into some draft dives a little bit later on in the year, especially after trade deadline. I know right now the next 11 days are going to be crazy leading up to the deadline. I did hear that they are toying with the idea. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I did read that they're toying with the idea of teams being able to trade draft picks. So right now, unlike NBA, unlike NFL, you can't trade draft picks in Major League Baseball. Now, it would have to go through the collective bargaining agreement, so it's definitely not going to be something that happens in the immediate future, but I think it's interesting. Now, just me, off the cuff, not really having thought about a lot of ramifications or consequences or anything like that, I think it's interesting. I'd probably be for it because I think it just adds more intrigue. It adds more entertainment just as a fan. I think it would be fun. You mix in a whole nother layer there with the draft picks in trades and things of that nature. I don't know. Some franchises, I think you definitely don't want them able to mess with any draft picks. I think there are some teams that would be extremely savvy being able to trade draft picks, but you know there's going to be some teams that absolutely kill their long-term being able to trade picks. And in a sport like baseball, I feel like it's almost unlike any other sport in that you can have an incredible year 1 year, and then the next year not be absolutely terrible, but fall off considerably from where you were at before. So my point in saying that is I think it's really risky to be trading, for example, first round draft picks on guys that may continue to produce at a very, very high level. But you've seen what happened. I mean, look at Corbin Carroll, for example, right now with the Diamondbacks. And I know I'm picking on him. There's some other guys. There's some guys on our own team. Look at Adolis Garcia. Last year, Adolis Garcia was at the complete height of baseball. This year, I mean, look where we're at right now. So if you're trading draft picks for Dolly based on what he did last year, and then you're getting the production you're getting this year, that's a big swing and miss. So my point is, you got to be really careful. Corbin Carroll, great year last year with the Diamondbacks. I think a few weeks ago, last time I checked, he was hitting under 200. Maybe he's brought that up a little bit, but you trade for some of these guys, you better make sure that they're going to be consistent, especially if you've got draft picks in the mix too. So we'll get more into the draft a little bit later on, probably sometime next week, or maybe, like I said, when the trade deadline passes, we can kind of look a little bit more. Guys will start getting assigned, and I think they already have started getting assigned to the different respective leagues, whether it's high A or rookie ball. So we'll get into that a little bit, but I definitely did catch my attention. Like I said, Rangers draft a few catchers early. We've got a gold glove all-star catcher from last year. I don't know. Catcher, definitely, though, at some point, you got to take the best guys available. That's another thing, too. So hopefully Jonah Heim's not taking it too personally. But I'll tell you what, first-round catcher. I think it'd be pretty hard if I'm Jonah Heim not to be reading into that just a little bit. That's just me. Let's keep on going, though. We got to talk about the bright spots. All right, this was an ugly game. We talked about why. Corbin Burns, really good Orioles team. You got to be perfect against them if you want a legitimate shot at winning. Not perfect, but close to it. Nate Eovaldi was not on, but there were a few bright spots. Let's talk about Corey Seager. So Seags had two walks tonight, extended his on-base streak to 19 total games. That is the longest active streak in Major League Baseball. And Corey Seager had a very, very good on-base streak earlier. I believe it got, did it get to 30 games? I know it was in like the high 20s. So Corey Seager, he goes ahead and just starts another on-base streak after having one that was around 30 games earlier this year. That was when Seags was like tearing the cover off the ball, had hit like 8 homers in 8 games. So Corey Seager, definitely a bright spot. I will say, if I could just get a little bit negative about that and about his performance tonight, I think what you're seeing are some teams finally truly committing to allowing Corey Seager to take first base and making other Rangers beat you. Now, look, Josh Smith has done a very, very exceptional job in the three hole. This is not going to be a Josh Smith bash session. The guy was on base at least once tonight. He did go 0 for with a couple strikeouts. It's going to happen. But let's just draw attention to the fact that I think teams are finally kind of starting to commit. Some already had, but there were some teams, I think, that were still trying to challenge Corey Seager even up to 1 week ago. And I think what you're going to start to see is teams allowing Seager to take that first base and make somebody else beat you. And that's going to be Josh Schmidt. That's going to be Wyatt Langford. That's going to be Adolis Garcia. And unfortunately, Adolis Garcia and Wyatt Langford just don't have it right now. Wyatt Langford in an 0-for-23, 24. And look, the wins in Houston, I think, kind of blanketed over, covered over the little slump that Wyatt Langford has been in. And kind of my whole message the entire night has been, let's not overreact to tonight's loss. Really good team, really, really good pitcher that we were facing tonight. Let's not overreact. But Wyatt Langford, Garcia, Josh Smith, Josh Young, when he comes back, those guys are going to have to perform because teams are going to decide we're not letting Corey Seager beat us. I know I wouldn't. When I look at the rest of this Rangers lineup, I'm biased because I love so many of these Rangers guys and I want to see them do well. But if I could just be objective for a second, I would much rather take my chances with Josh Smith than Corey Seager. I'd much rather be able to live with Josh Smith beating me than Corey Seager. And that's no disrespect to Josh Smith. That's a ton of respect to a guy that's one of four people to win multiple World Series MVPs. It's all respect to Corey Seager. So Josh Smith, Langford, Dolie, those guys look like cupcakes in comparison to Seager at this point. And they have got to do their part to change the narrative in that regard. I think Langford has shown his flashes. I think Garcia obviously is a guy people remember from last October getting extremely hot, breaking an all-time record for most RBI in a postseason. But they also look at how he's doing this year, how they're doing this year. And you'd much rather live with one of those guys beating you than Seager. So Corey Seager extends his on-base streak, but I think it's a little bit of just foreboding for the future, what to expect. I don't think a lot of teams are going to pitch to Corey until Josh Smith, Langford, Garcia really start heating up. And I mean really heating up. I think you're going to continue to see teams do that to him, which sucks for us Rangers fans because you want your best hitter being able to tee off as much as possible. But that is what teams are going to do, especially when most of the league has an understanding of how the Rangers have been struggling, not living up to potential. We'll see how that plays out. Gio, what's up, my friend? Thanks for tuning in today. This was a boring game. Win tomorrow to make up for today. Go Rangers. Josh Smith made an incredible play. Please go watch it if you weren't able to watch live. But one of the best plays defensively, Josh Smith pretty much dead sprint going straight back, right? Kind of one of those tough in-between pop flies that was going to be in no man's land. Josh Smith sprints straight backwards, makes a catch, right? Not even kind of just looking up, just like straight up over the shoulder catch. It was beautiful. Almost got a double play out of it because the runner that was on first base was fully expecting that ball to drop and was almost at second. So wouldn't that have been sweet to just turn two off of that? But Josh Smith, probably I would say he's got to be a top five play defensively for the Rangers all year. So definitely one worth checking out if you didn't get to watch the game. So let me add another bright spot. I was focusing on the offense tonight, but absolutely a bright spot there. Josh Smith making a top five play in terms of Rangers defense this year. I would say easily top five play, maybe higher than that, maybe even higher. The Langford play to rob the homer or to rob at least extra bases has got to be up there as well. That one was what, last week, early last week, I want to say like a week and a half ago. That one's up there. There's a few others, but I think this one was definitely top five. Gio, thanks for the comment. Hopefully Rangers can get back on track tomorrow with Max Scherzer on the bump. That would be the plan. Nate Lowe, 1-for-4 tonight, drove in the only run via a solo shot early on in the game in the second inning. And that was the Rangers' only run tonight. Nate Lowe, though, had a few other, I think, really positive at-bats. So I will say, I think that Nate Lowe is doing a nice job driving the ball, putting the ball in play, had a big clutch two-out RBI single in the 10th inning in Houston last Saturday. I'm telling you what, I've been hard on Nate Lowe during the valleys in his season. I do think at this point the Rangers need to bump him up at minimum to the five spot. I think if Wyatt Langford continues to struggle as he is right now over his last 24, Wyatt Langford is, you might need to consider a move up to the four spot. I like how Nate Lowe's hitting right now. Even the outs that he had tonight were loud, driving the ball. He almost had another home run off Corbin Burns. Easily could have had two bombs off Burns, gets the one solo shot. I do think Nate Lowe needs to be hitting above Adolis Garcia at this point. I think Dolis should be hitting sixth. Two strikeouts tonight. There were a few really, really bad pitches that Dolis went for tonight. That's been his problem all season, the discipline, the lack of plate vision. I feel for him. I want to see Dolis do well. I do think you don't have time right now. I've said this so many times, y'all. You don't have time to be nice to guys while they figure it out when it comes to making the lineup on a daily basis. You don't have time to worry about Dolis' feelings. You need production right now. So if that means moving Dolis down to six, you move him down to six. You don't have time to worry about Adolis Garcia's feelings. Love what he did last year. The season's hanging in the balance right now. You need all hands on deck. You need everybody producing. You need to squeeze as much production out of this lineup as humanly possible. And if I'm Bruce Bochy, I have no time for anybody's feelings. I will do exactly what needs to be done with that lineup to maximize production. That has to be the mentality right now for this Rangers club. You've got to start winning ball games. 100%, you've got to start winning ball games at least a 60 to 65% clip. So if that means moving some guys down that have been staples in the 4, 5, 3 spot, whatever, do it so we can start winning games. Because I think the more that we continue to worry too much about the past and what guys did for us and treating them right, I see a lot of different stuff online. I know a lot of Rangers fans are wrapped up in what happened last year, and last year was amazing. Anybody that's criticizing or critiquing players this year, I would submit, what's wrong with that? Part of being a fan is being disappointed, being upset when your team's not performing to the highest of levels. Now, if all you have to say is negative over and over again, I get that. I get the critique of those fans. But y'all hear me praise many people and give flowers to many different people on this Rangers ball club when it's due. But let's be clear about what's going on right now with the Rangers season. We don't have time to sit around and say, well, they did so much for us last year. They were so great. They've done so much for the organization. But guys, we're worried about this year trying to make the playoffs. Like, the Rangers can still make the playoffs. So I don't think it's being disloyal to move guys down in the lineup. I don't think anything like that. I think right now Bruce Bochy has got to do whatever he needs to do to maximize this offense. And for me, that's moving some guys down that were great for us last year but aren't contributing for us this year. So we'll see what happens moving forward. I think moving Dolis from the four spot down to the five spot was the right move. I'd hit him sixth. He probably could be hitting lower than that at this point, but the Rangers don't really have anybody else. I mean, you look at this lineup, I'm tired of seeing Travis Jankowski and Leody back-to-back in this lineup. How often do you see that? Travis Jankowski, and I love El Blondi. Dude is our DH. What? You have Travis Jankowski as your DH. For me, for a while, I kind of said to myself, and when Josh Jung gets back, I think it changes a little bit. I think it actually solves this problem. So I don't think the Rangers need to go out and get a bat at the deadline because they should be getting Josh Jung back. But you can't have Travis Jankowski DHing for you. That's not a recipe for success. And how many games have we seen El Blondi in the DH spot? El Blondi needs to be a guy that we see once a week starting maximum, maybe getting some pinch running and defensive sub opportunities. But Travis Jankowski right now being our DH, it's an embarrassing look for the lineup. And I know it's because of Josh Jung being out and you got Evan Carter out as well. I know that when they get back, you're not going to see this anymore, but it's pretty embarrassing to have our DH as Travis Jankowski right now. And that's not to be disrespectful to El Blondi, but we all know what Travis Jankowski is. He is a utility player that you want starting maybe once a week, defensive sub, maybe a pinch runner, maybe a pinch hitter here and there, depending on the spot. But it's embarrassing and disheartening to see Jankowski in the DH spot game after game. And I truly hope that Josh Young, Evan Carter are coming back soon. I know they've been working out, doing some things to get ready. I'm hopeful that we see them in the next couple of weeks. I don't know. I've gotten my hopes up with Josh Young. I really got my hopes up at the end of June that he was coming back. We didn't see it. The wrist soreness, whatever. So I'm not holding my breath on either of those guys. But if you're not going to go out and get a bat at the deadline to DH for you, those guys better be back in the lineup soon. They better be back in that lineup soon. It's not good right now. Leody, Jankowski, back-to-back, it's hard to stomach. It is really hard to stomach for me. And you just kind of know at the bottom of that order, you're going to be feeling extremely lucky like you hit the jackpot when you're getting multi-hits out of our 7, 8, 9 right now. I mean, we've got Leody, Heim, and Jankowski for 7, 8, 9. Tonight it was Heim, Jankowski, Leody, Heim 238, Jankowski 210, Leody 227. It's ugly. So hopefully Josh Young, Evan Carter back soon. Shoot. Foscue, I think he has actually been hitting pretty rough down at the minor league level. I'm not 100%, but last time I checked, it was not good for Foscue down at the minor leagues. I'm going to go ahead and look up his stats right now, because I think I actually have the minor league site pulled up here. So I'll tell y'all what Foscue is at right now for anybody suggesting that. And I think it's a fine suggestion. Foscue was up with the club earlier this year, got injured. But let's just check this out. Foscue's hitting 244. He was 0 for 4 tonight. Foscue in his last seven, it's not going to show me last seven just because of the All-Star break and everything like that. So Foscue on the season in the minor leagues hitting 244. I mean, I don't know about you. That doesn't jump off the page to me as a guy that I need to call up to be my DH. Maybe you can make the argument he's better than Travis Jankowski, but that's a tough one. I think at this point, my hope is that Josh Young, Evan Carter are going to be back very, very soon, and we're not going to have to see Travis Jankowski at the DH spot. He can go back to doing the job that he signed on with us for. Being a good defensive sub in the late innings, pinch running when needed, occasionally getting a spot start to give a guy a day off. That's what Travis Jankowski needs to be doing for us. I'm really curious to see what they do with the outfield situation. There's a lot of players. There's a lot of players that are outfielders on this club right now. You've got Robbie Grossman. You've got Leody Taveras, Travis Jankowski, right? You've got Derek Hill. You've got Garcia, Langford, Evan Carter's coming back. You've got all these guys, right? All of these guys that are outfielders. And at this point, I really, really feel like you're going to have to drop somebody. You're going to have to drop someone. And that's going to be a sad day because it might end up being a guy like Robbie Grossman, maybe a guy like Travis Jankowski. A couple of my good buddies that are big Rangers fans questioned whether El Blondie was going to make it through the entire season with us. I kind of laughed at it at the time, but they might end up being, Travis Jankowski might end up being an odd man out. I don't know. But somebody is going to probably have to get the boot, especially when Young, especially when Evan Carter come back. We'll see what happens there. Now, do I think that the Rangers are going to make the playoffs? This is a really tough one for me. The fan in me, the glass half full perspective in me says it's going to be close, but yes. You caught me on a little bit of a down night. I'm not going to lie with this question. I would say this. I think it's going to come down to the Astros and the Rangers in the division. The Mariners, I think, are going to be hanging around. I think they'll be in the mix. I do think it's going to come down to the Rangers and the Astros. Right now, the wild card looks like a logjam. I can't really see the Rangers getting a wild card spot like they did last year. I think you've got to win the division this year. So what they did against Houston was huge, gaining some games in the standings. But right now, I would say tentatively, I think it's going to come down between Houston and Texas for the division. That's who's going to make the playoffs. Rangers would have to get really, really hot to be in the wild card mix with how many really quality teams there are. I mean, nearly everybody in the AL East right now is like a wild card contender, even the last place team. So it's going to be tough. I think the Rangers are going to have to win the division to make the playoffs. The Rangers do appear to have the Astros number to an extent. I mean, look, those were some tight games last weekend, but I do know that the Rangers have a lot of home games coming up against the Astros. Now, that might be a good thing. It might be a bad thing. Some fans I know were kind of touting that like it was a positive. I don't know. I kind of wish that the Rangers had a bunch of games left in Houston. Seems like the Astros come to Globe Life and kill it. So I actually would rather there be more games left against the Astros in Houston versus at Globe Life. Just seems like there's a lot of Astros hitters that are very comfortable at Globe Life Field. So for me, it was actually a negative. I kind of thought to myself, shoot, I wish there were a bunch more games left at Minute Maid versus the Astros. But hopefully the Rangers can continue to win games against the Astros. That is the hope. That is the hope. All right, y'all, let's keep going, and then we're going to wrap things up. Let's look at the matchup for tomorrow. I don't think there's a whole lot else worth talking about. 0-3 with runners in scoring position. Nate Lowe and Josh Smith both leave runners in scoring position with two outs. Nate Lowe's home run did come with two outs, so Nate Lowe got a two-out RBI. Six runners left on base. Only three guys in scoring position all night. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of ballgames that way. Jonathan Hernandez, I will say this, felt really bad for Jonathan because he threw a beautiful sixth inning. Beautiful sixth inning for Jonathan Hernandez. 1-2-3, struck out the side in order. And then you ask him to go out for a second inning. And for me, whether it's Jose Leclerc or Jonathan Hernandez, the second inning, the multi-inning thing, it just doesn't ever seem to go great. So Jonathan Hernandez, I feel like, had a great sixth inning. I know that you're trying to kind of save some arms. You got a lot of games coming up. But I would have loved to have seen them go to somebody else and just give him that beautiful sixth inning with three Ks in a row, leave the confidence high. Instead, they leave him in for the seventh, which I don't get. I mean, I don't like totally not get, but I do think there's a pattern with some of our relievers. You throw them out for the second inning, bad things happen. And Jonathan Hernandez went out for the seventh, three-run homer. Santander, I believe, hits the three-run bomb to make it 9-1. And it kind of puts a mar on what otherwise would have been a very good relief outing for Jonathan Hernandez. So my only thing is I think the Rangers with the bullpen need to start figuring out who are the guys that we can trust to go multi-inning and who are the guys that need to be one and done. And I would say at this point, Hernandez, Leclerc, I would like to see those guys start to be one and done. I don't think those are your multi-inning guys. Robert did a great job. I think this was outing number two for him in his major league career, Daniel Robert. He was able to pitch a scoreless eighth inning and don't think he had any strikeouts tonight, but no hits, no walks. Scoreless eighth inning for Daniel Robert in his second major league game. Good for him. He got a little roughed up in the Angels appearance that he made. So good to see him come out, throw up some zeros. John Gray goes a scoreless ninth, one hit allowed. John Gray probably going to be making an impact in the White Sox series, if I had to guess. I don't think he's going to be pitching any time in this series from here on out. I think this was kind of a bullpen day, and I think we'll see John Gray start in the White Sox series. What do I think the Rangers are going to do at the deadline? Great question. I would say at this point, I'm not expecting the Rangers to do a whole lot. I think what they're going to do is probably depth related. Maybe you go out and get a strong bench guy, somebody to fortify a position of weakness. I don't know. I don't think you need to go get pitchers. You've got plenty of those, especially with Malley and especially with Bradford. I think Bradford pitched tonight, by the way, rehab start and threw a scoreless inning, a perfect inning. From what I caught on X, I get some updates from certain Rangers writers and reporters, and someone reported that he went a scoreless inning tonight. Cody Bradford did. And I think Cody Bradford, they've already established, is going to be going to the pen when he comes back. But you've got Malley coming back. You've got DeGrom coming back. Dunning, I think, is going to be coming back pretty soon and going back to the bullpen. So I don't think the Rangers have any need at all to go to a bullpen piece as a trade option. I don't think they need to go out and get that. I think maybe if you want to go kind of swing for the fences, pun intended, you go get a power right-handed premier power bat. I don't think the Rangers are going to do that, though. I think you would kind of almost be foolish to do it with where the team's at right now, because there's not a guarantee the Rangers are going to make the playoffs. You don't want to give up a lot of capital in the minor leagues and the farm system for a big bat, and then you don't make the playoffs. That's kind of what the Angels did last year. They tried to go out and get Giolito. They tried to get, I think they did, they went out and got Giolito. They got CJ Cron, trying to fortify that team in Ohtani's final season with the club. And the team went on an epic nosedive, and you ended up wasting quite a bit of draft capital there. I really don't want the Rangers to be in that same spot. The Rangers are going to be good next year. I know it's hard to see that, and you've got a pretty abysmal offensive season going right now, getting a little bit better of late, right? I know it's hard to picture the Rangers being this juggernaut next year, but I will say this. It's very likely Ivo is going to be back with us next year. I think that he has expressed a willingness to stay and wants to stay. He's got a player option that I think is going to get activated when he hits a certain innings clip. So I think Ivo, DeGrom, you're 1-2. You've still got John Gray. You've got a lot of these young guys still. You've got Dane Dunning. Dane Dunning, I think, is a very solid fourth or fifth starter. You've got some guys that are going to be around next year that pitched very well. I think a full season of DeGrom and Ivo. Scherzer obviously will be gone. Don't think the Rangers will be bringing him back. But you've got a few other names in the mix too. We'll see who develops in the farm system. You've still got Cody Bradford, and he's established that he can start. So I really don't think the Rangers need to panic. You've got a very good chance of competing next year and making the playoffs. You've still got the exact same lineup. I think there's a couple of guys that are probably going to be in and out, but your lineup isn't changing. You still got Simi, Siegs, Josh Young. You've still got Josh Smith. You've still got a lot of those guys. Nate Lowe is going to be around again. Now, would I go out and get another bat in free agency? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't think this is the best time to buy big names. I think you either stand pat, maybe go get a little bit of depth, but I don't think this is the time to buy big names at the deadline. I do think I would be open to selling guys that are a little bit inconsequential. So hear me out on this one. Maybe this is going to be a little bit controversial. I don't know. I would be open to trading a guy like Mike Lorenzen. If there's a team that's interested in Mike Lorenzen, I'd be open to trading him. I think when you have everybody back healthy, right, you've got Ivo, you've got DeGrom, you've got Scherzer, you've got John Gray. You have got a lot of starters already. You got Malley. I mean, that's five guys right there that I just named. You really don't need Mike Lorenzen once everybody's back healthy. Lorenzen could potentially be a trade piece that maybe you just sell in order to get more options for next year down in the farm system. I don't think Mike Lorenzen is going to command anybody crazy in terms of prospects. But you could go get something, because Mike Lorenzen is probably going to walk next year in free agency and get a nice contract, assuming he has a strong second half. But I really don't know if the Rangers are going to be willing to do that or not. Andrew Heaney, I think, is a guy you want to keep around. He's on an expiring contract, but I think his lefty arm coming out of the bullpen is going to be invaluable, especially if you think that you are going to make the playoffs. But I do think a guy like Mike Lorenzen is a little bit expendable. I do think you could trade a guy like Lorenzen, get some value. What? I don't know. Maybe you can get that piece that I was just talking about, that bat that gives you a little bit of depth, not like a premier power bat. But maybe Mike Lorenzen could get you a bench player that gives you a little bit of boost in a certain area of weakness. I wouldn't mind doing something like that. I love Mike Lorenzen. Think he's pitched great for us. I really enjoyed watching him this year. But at the same time, I think being that he's on an expiring contract and you've got this surplus of pitching at the moment, he could be a piece that you look to trade away. Of course, I would love to get a player like this. I mean, who wouldn't? Mason Miller is the talk of the entire trading market right now. I'm sure there are some teams making calls on Mason Miller. I don't think the Rangers at this point are going to be doing a deal like that. The Rangers are going to, I think, be conserving as much of their farm as they can. Now, there are some positions, like I know we talked about this before the All-Star break, like Walcott, for example, down in the minor leagues, kind of a little bit blocked at this point. Now, Seager is potentially, from the rumblings that I've gathered, maybe down the road moving to first base. But we're not talking next year, probably not even 2 years from now. So do you trade a guy like Walcott trying to get something else, another piece that you actually need? I don't know. Not sure what the Rangers are going to be willing to do here. I don't know. I haven't heard a whole lot. I think CY has kept pretty tight lips on the whole thing. And when you bring up a guy, Gio, I appreciate that you brought this up, a guy like Zeke Duran, we kind of forget about him. Now, personally, I haven't gone off on this, I don't think at all, since they actually demoted him. But I really don't know why Zeke Duran isn't on the club at this point. I know that he wasn't playing particularly well when they demoted him. But I think if you ask most Rangers fans, who would you rather have DHing right now? Zeke Duran or Travis Jankowski? I would rather have Zeke Duran at this point. I mean, I really would. I don't think that Zeke Duran is going to do any worse than a .210 batting average. In fact, Zeke Duran was hitting better than that before he got demoted. So I think Zeke Duran is a guy that ideally you would want to keep around. I think ideally you would want to keep Zeke around unless there is a primo trade piece opportunity. I think Zeke Duran really needed to get traded last year. I think Zeke Duran was having a great first half last year. And I think you saw his ceiling in May of last season. He was hitting over 300. There was a lot of Ohtani trade talks. Maybe the Rangers are going to go trade for Ohtani. And they decided, or the Angels decided, I should say, to not trade him. I think Zeke Duran would have been a great trade chip last year. I don't know how much value he's getting you this year. I don't know if they have him in the long-term plans or not. I don't think that he needs to be down in AAA, though, while we've got Travis Jankowski as our DH. I think Zeke Duran could easily be filling that role right now. I know they want to get him right. Maybe they've got this system or plan in place with him. Who knows? But it's a little bit interesting to me that Zeke Duran is still on the AAA team with how badly the Rangers need a DH right now. I mean, Travis Jankowski just ain't it. And I'm not trying to hate on El Blondie, but he's not a DH. I think even he would tell you that. So, by the way, Zeke Duran is hitting, I believe, 204. So, look, I sing his praises, and he's only hitting about 200, looks like, down in the minor leagues right now. So, I don't know. Zeke Duran, it's too bad that the stats had to say that right after I kind of say that he should be up on the big league club, but it is what it is. Look, Zeke Duran, I don't think he's going to be that big of an upgrade over Jankowski at this point, but who knows what's going to happen with him. If he keeps hitting 200, though, down at AAA, it's definitely not going to result in a promotion back to the big leagues. So kind of concerning. I really hadn't looked at Zeke's numbers. He was hitting 256 in the major leagues before his demotion. So I don't know if he's in his head a little bit. And we talked about how some guys, you've got to be mentally tough when they demote you. Some guys respond really well. Some guys don't. It might not be anything mental. Might be tough luck. I really don't know what it is with Zeke. I have not been watching any kind of Round Rock Express baseball. Rangers keep me busy enough, but I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Duran. It's concerning to not see him doing so well right now. Now, let me look at tomorrow's game. Let's go to tomorrow. So we've got Scherzer on the bump, and hopefully he'll continue to have some competitive outings for us. Last game against Houston was, I think, a little bit rough for Max. I don't think he had his best day, but look, got it through, pitched well enough to put the Rangers in a position to win. So Max tomorrow, definitely, I think, will have a shot. But tomorrow, I think, is a big day, a big opportunity for a bounce back for the Rangers. So we're going to be facing Rodriguez tomorrow. He is 11-4 with a 3.88 ERA. Scherzer 1-2 with a 2.96 ERA. Robbie Grossman, he is, looks like, 2-for-3. I don't think he'll be getting the start tomorrow. 2-for-3 with a home run against Rodriguez. Leody is 1-for-1 with a home run. Maybe Leody, it's his turn to get hot. Seager actually only 1-for-6 against Rodriguez in his career, but that one hit was a home run. And then a pretty small sample size otherwise. Marcus Semien, 1-for-5. And these aren't very, very potent numbers. But at the same time, it's not like anybody has double-digit at-bats against him. So we'll see what happens. Against Scherzer, the Baltimore lineup, there's a couple of guys that have hit decent off of him. Couser is 1-for-2 with the bomb. Henderson, 1-for-2. Mateo, second baseman, 1-for-3. Santander is 4-for-10 with 2 bombs. So Santander, probably a guy you circle for tomorrow in the lineup, a guy to not let beat you if you're Max Scherzer. So that's the lineups. That is the career matchups that each lineup has against each of the probable starters for tomorrow's game. Rodriguez, in his last 7 games, 4.71 ERA. So Rodriguez has not been super sharp in his past 7. He's actually coming off a start against the Yankees where he gave up 6 earned runs. So hopefully the Rangers can catch Rodriguez at a good time, score some runs off of him. That would be very nice to see after a poor outing, a pitiful outing tonight for the offense. So tomorrow, game time, I believe, is going to be at night again, 6:05 Texas time start. So we'll do, I believe, a day game on Sunday, but 6:05 Texas time start tomorrow. So we'll be back at you live after that game. But let's do our AL West roundup, and then we'll get out of here and flush this one out the system, y'all. That's what you got to do. It's one game. You just hate losing any games at this point, but you're facing the AL starter in the All-Star game, Corbin Burns. It's tough. Look, the AL West beating up on each other today. Angels are playing Oakland, and they are losing 6-3 to the A's in Oakland tonight. The Mariners are hosting the Astros. Astros are up 3-0 in Seattle. So we've got the AL West beating up on each other right now. It sure would be nice for the Rangers to get some wins. AL West, everybody is playing each other. Let's get some wins, man. While we play the White Sox and the Orioles, this would be a primo opportunity for the Rangers to gain some games. Houston, with a win tonight, would creep ever closer to first place in the division. So right now, as it stands, the Rangers are 5.5 games out. That would bounce back to 6 games with a Mariners win. With a Mariners loss, it would go back to 5. And the Astros, I believe, would take a tie for first place with a win tonight. Oh, that's painful to say. But Rangers would still be 5 games out. Rangers are 8 games out of a wild card spot. So that's why I said earlier in the live, they really have to win the division, I think, in order to have a shot at playoffs. I don't think that the wild card is going to be an option this year. Nothing's impossible, but Rangers are 8 games out of a wild card spot, either 5 or 6 games out of the AL West. AL West is probably what it's going to have to be at this point, much unlike last year. I don't think the Rangers really need to go out and get a closer at this point. I don't think they need to get any pitchers. Now, you only have Yates for a year, for the rest of this year, Robertson for the rest of this year. Now, we'll see if those guys want to stick around, but I don't really think this year it would be wise for the Rangers to spend any kind of farm system capital on a closer, as much as it would be awesome to have Mason Miller. I'm just not a big fan. I think the Rangers pitching is going to be fine. I think the bullpen, when you add the guys who have been starters and the guys coming back from injury, I think it's going to be okay. I really don't think the Rangers have a strong need to go out and get a relief pitcher at this point. You can go get one maybe in free agency next year like they did this year with Yates and Robertson, but I don't think you want to be trading good pieces in your farm system for a Mason Miller type. I mean, maybe if the deal is right, I guess, but I don't think it's a big need at this point. I would love to have a guy like Pete Alonso. I don't know where the Mets are going to be with trading. They're 2 games over 500 right now, and the Mets currently have a wild card spot. The Mets are not going to be trading Pete Alonso in a wild card spot. So as much as I'd love to get Pete a power bat, right-handed, a first baseman, a power bat at the first base position, although Nate Lowe is coming along, I don't think that the Rangers are going to be able to be getting a guy like that who is currently on a playoff team. I just don't think that the Mets are going to be trading when they currently hold the wild card spot. So Pete Alonso, a guy that I have championed in the past as being someone the Rangers need to go after, I don't think it's going to be in the cards with the Mets and their mid-season, we'll call it, resurgence. Now, beyond that, headlines around MLB. Let me see what we got here. Soto collects 4 hits vintage Gerrit Cole. So looks like the Yankees got off to a good start. 6-1 over the Rays. Santander and the Orioles All-Stars make the headlines as well. Man, I don't like seeing that. And when the Rangers win, they never get front page. Nope, never get front page when the Rangers win. But the Orioles win, and of course, front page news. let me see what else we got here. Jose Altuve, he must have hit a home run or something tonight because he just flipped on the front page. They got a little carousel going. Altuve, let's see. He looks like, nope, no homer for him. Looks like he just scored a run. But Altuve was front page for whatever reason because he singled and scored a run, I guess. Whatever. Seems like there might be better guys that you could have on the front page, MLB, but I'm a little biased. So beyond that, not a whole lot else on the MLB front page for us to go over. Scherzer versus Rodriguez tomorrow. We'll be back at you at some point during the day. Go in to our challenge, putting out a video, a short, a reel, whatever platform you're on our system, betting 1 cent on a Texas Rangers win for every follower that we have. If you're not following along, by the way, it's a perfect segue. If you're not subscribed to the channel, please do so. I greatly appreciate it. And if you know somebody that loves the Rangers, loves Rangers baseball, loves just talking baseball in general, please tell them about the channel. Tell them about the account. Share one of my videos with them. I would be very, very grateful. I know that there are a ton of options out there, a lot that you could be consuming for Rangers baseball. Thanks for choosing Right on Rangers. Thanks for hanging out, even after a tough loss. Look, I don't always want to get on and do the shows after bad losses like this, but it's kind of therapeutic for me at this point, honestly. Helps me get over it and on to the next day. Let's flesh this one out and hopefully watch a Rangers win tomorrow and we can all hang out talking about all the good stuff the Rangers did offensively. Scherzer pitching a shutout. We're just going to speak it into existence right now, y'all. Okay. Hope y'all have a great rest of your Friday night. Hopefully I'll see you on another live at some point this weekend. Would love that. Otherwise, catch it on the replay. You know, all these lives are posted, especially on Facebook and YouTube. If you ever miss one, I also put them on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So if it works better to listen, you got that option too. But come hang out again soon. If I don't see you though, hope you have a great rest of the weekend. Let's get some wins against the Orioles, y'all. And as I always say to end every show, God bless. Go Rangers. Have a great Friday night.